It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, and so we're going to begin reading there. We were there last time we were together, and we're going to repeat it. It's a beautiful verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-440-4402. If you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And also, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. So glad that you've joined us today. We'll begin reading now with Matthew chapter 28, beginning to read with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. We're going to end the reading with verse 15, and we're not going to get anywhere near those verses of Scripture, but it's so wonderful to read them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come and to enjoy this text once again. And as last time we were together, we went and read the same text in Matthew 28, and we went to Mark and read the 16th chapter there, and Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20. And Father, we read each one of the gospel writers, and we know it is all inspired, and it was wonderful to read all that. And that's about all we accomplished last time we were together. And so today, Father, while we're going to just continue through these wonderful verses of Scripture and just enjoy them. So, Father, please guide and lead us. Show us the importance of the crucifixion and of the resurrection and the life that you give us. Father, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us to repentance, that we may realize that we're a sinner, need a Savior. And Father, we know your Son Jesus is the only means of salvation that we have. He is our Savior. So please, Father, all that are listening today, that they will call upon you and by faith come to you, not by any works or means that they can do themselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we did, last time we were together, we went through Matthew 28 here, and we went to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. We read from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 45, and then John chapter 20, 1 through 29. And the resurrection of Jesus is the great fundamental doctrine of Christianity. And to destroy the truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus would destroy Christianity, and there would be no means of salvation. This is our great guarantee of our own bodily resurrection. And so we know, according to read, and we read last time we were together in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we need to understand that. So the Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, is the verbal, inspired Word of God. So the Old Testament, as we read back in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, does clearly tell us of the resurrection. And then we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 36. And that was the end of the last study that we have. And so now that we are still looking here at this wonderful verse of Scripture in verse 1 of chapter 28 of Matthew, the words are often repeated concerning the great resurrection of the Lord Jesus on the third day. The disciples, they did not fully understand, and when he was crucified, they were so overwhelmed with grief that none remembered what was to happen or take place. We are clearly to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you accept by faith that Jesus is risen from the dead. We do not need to prove it. It will, and it does, prove itself. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've got some verses of Scripture here to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, this is Paul, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You see, being born again is the greatest gift of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we can easily and simply know that in our hearts. It's so important that you come by faith. Please do not question it. Please do not doubt. Come by faith to Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Beautiful verse of Scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, back to verse 1 of chapter 28 of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, no human eyes saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. No one knows the exact time. What we do know is that it was sometime between sunset on Saturday night and sunrise on Sunday morning. Sometime between those two points, two times. To see the empty tomb. Let's go back a couple of chapters here in Matthew to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. There was a question here. We're going to read a few more verses besides that, because then we're at verse 38. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the bellies, in whale's belly, fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Some don't believe that the book of Jonah is real. They don't believe that that really took place with Jonah. It did, without question. It is recorded for us. Names and places and times. He was to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. He decided to go an alternate way, and God had to get a hold of him. He got a hold of him by a great fish that God himself created for this purpose. Some believe that Jonah was alive in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And listen carefully, 3 days and three nights. I believe that Jonah died and God rose him from the dead. I think we have a beautiful picture here. Now, either way, it doesn't matter. It's a true message, a true story for us to see and to understand. And Jesus gave this to these Pharisees and the scribes that did not believe, and that's the reason that he calls them an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He was talking right to the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you realize that those are the religious leaders and teachers of that day? That we would call those the church pastors and teachers? And yet the Lord Jesus called them an adulterous generation. But he did tell them something. 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be. So shall the Son of Man be. Now, tradition has accepted the fact that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. And I clearly stated tradition. Tradition. Now, we have already stated that Jesus was alive out of that tomb somewhere between sunset on Saturday night and before sunrise on Sunday morning. Now, today we've got what they call a new math, which is pathetic. We need to go back to the 1 and 1 is 2, and 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 8. We need to go back to the math that makes sense. But using new math or old math, there's no way to find 3 days and three nights if Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. It's impossible. Oh, they have tried to explain it out. God doesn't work that way. When he said 3 days and three nights, he meant 3 days and three nights. Why do you think some religion, some man, Some man at some point in time decided to change this, and I know why they thought they could get away with it. And it's because of the Sabbath. It's because of that word, the Sabbath. There's no way that 3 days and three nights can be found from Good Friday to before sunrise of Sunday morning. Religions teach it, teachers teach it, preachers preach it. Good Friday, many people get Good Friday off. They don't even have to work. But it is only tradition. The truth of the Bible is the only truth we have. And we need to look at that, and we need to see that when it says 3 days and three nights, God means 3 days and three nights. So, to make it clear, according to the Word of God, Jesus was not crucified on Friday, but on Wednesday. And you might say at this point in time, what does it matter as long as Jesus was crucified and he rose again? We know he rose on the first day of the week, on Sunday. The Word of God's important. And I've got a problem when we read 3 days and three nights, and you, tradition, preachers, teachers, try to tell me that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. Now, once again, the question comes in about the Sabbath. We know that they spoke of taking Jesus down before the Sabbath. The question comes, which Sabbath? He said, what do you mean, which Sabbath? There are many Sabbaths. There is the weekly Sabbath, which is on the seventh day of the week. There are Sabbaths during some of these feasts, and especially upon the Passover. And we were during the Passover period here. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus was crucified then. And so the Sabbath, by which the feast of Passover would begin with a particular sacred Sabbath, and they called it High Day, High Sabbath. It ends with one and it begins with one. So let's take a look at this. The Passover always falls on the 14th day of the month of Abib. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, verses 4 and 5. These are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. So no matter what day that lands on, it always starts, the first day of the Passover is the 14th day of the same month, and we need to understand that. We need to recognize that. The 14th day of the first month. Now, that's the month of Abib. That is in the area of the month of April. It's also called Nisan. And let's look at one more here, at Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16. It said, observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. And thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. And so we find that it is the Passover. We have the Passover and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the wonderful feasts that we talk about the most, because the Feast of Weeks would be Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement. There's so much that we can enjoy and learn. We are not to celebrate those, but each one of them have a great meaning. And especially when we come here to this verses of Scripture concerning, we're looking at this time and period. Now, as some what we call holidays that we celebrate, one is the 4th of July. Does the 4th of July always land on a Monday or a Tuesday? No, it's the 4th of July. As we find here, the 14th day of the month of Abib. It is not necessarily on the same day. And so when it speaks of the Sabbath here, and we've got, let's go to John 19:31 here very quickly. John chapter 19, verse 31. And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then when came the soldiers, and they brake the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. And the scripture is very clear that not one bone would be broken. But I want you to see that in verse 31. For the Sabbath was a high day. Was a high day. That means, in this case, it was the 14th day of the month of Abib, the first day of the Sabbath. That doesn't necessarily mean it's Saturday. It could have landed on a Saturday, but if he'd landed on a Saturday and we have 3 days and three nights, Jesus would not have risen on the first day of the week. But he did. So we need to back up. The Passover was always the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish year. But that day was not always on the same day of the week. So if the Passover on Monday 1 year, it would be on Tuesday the next year. You see what I'm saying? All Bible teaching having to do with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus points to the fact that the Passover that year began on Thursday. Therefore, Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. High Sabbath. And the High Sabbath began at sunset Wednesday evening. Because the day the Jewish day starts at sunset. And so Thursday started what we would call Wednesday evening. There you very easily have 3 days and three nights, because Jesus came out of the grave sometime between sunset on Saturday night and sunrise on Sunday morning. So we have a lot of things here. He rose on the first day of the week, Sunday. It's the end of the Sabbath. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that was their Sabbath. That was the seventh day of the week. 3 days and three nights. And again, it is very important that Jesus died on the cross. And it's very important that we don't go by tradition, but that we go according to the Word of God. So please, don't say, Larry, it doesn't matter. You know, what else are you going to change? What else are you going to change when it comes to the Word of God? There's many things that we don't fully and completely understand, but I can add. But the tradition of man has so changed it. And it has kind of a double meaning here when it says the end of the Sabbath at the first verse, because it is truly the end of the Sabbath. Some people try to continue to worship on the Sabbath and say that some people say that Sunday is our Sabbath, and that's not true. No, we worship on the first day of the week. The Sabbath was Saturday. But the Sabbath was abolished by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There has not been a Sabbath since. There is no Sabbath during the dispensation of grace. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. I have received letters, I've received information. People say that if I don't worship on Saturday, that I not only myself is going to go to hell, but so is everybody that I've taught that we come to worship on the first day of the week. My Lord was risen from the dead on the first day of the week, Sunday. And I'm coming together to worship. And we have such an example of all the disciples and the apostles and the early church. They all enjoyed praising the Lord, bringing their offerings, and coming on the first day of the week, no longer on the Sabbath. That's a Jewish rule and law, and Jesus took care of that. Jesus took care of that when he rose from the dead. So truly it's the end of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was abolished by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What a joy. What a joy. Now, we're going to move forward here with this next time we come together, but I think it was very important for us to understand when Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday morning, sometime between that night, Saturday night, and at nightfall and Sunday morning. What a joy it is, and we have a couple ladies here, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, come to see the sepulcher, and we will begin right there because they found that the stone was rolled away. He's alive. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?